Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and you've come to a location where we talk about the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. It's all about truly being brutally honest, transparent, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I'm in the studio today with Steve.
God bless you this morning as we get into the Word of God.
Amen. What we normally do before we get into the meat of things, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be one of our favorite, maybe even your favorite, our favorite, psalm, and how God uses that psalm to really reflect who He wants us to be. Now, here's what we're going to do beforehand. We're going to read one of the emails here that has been sent in. I don't know if there's a Good Friday email in there. I never read them. I just hand them over to my co-host and say, okay, find one here, and let's go from there. So that's what we're going to start off with. But just to remind you, if you want to send an email in to us, send it to help@bandofbrothersradio.com. Brother, whatever's on your mind, if there's a challenge in your life, know this, that you're not alone, and one of us here in the studio have probably experienced it. We'll try to make it come biblically, you know, through scripture and through our own experiences. Man, it's all about being real and being able to encourage you to know that there is a solution, and that solution is Jesus Christ. So anyway, what have we got today, brother?
Well, today, Raul, we are going to read an email from a woman, and she writes this: I am one of those stealthy women that listen to your radio program. I listen because I want to try to understand my husband better. I also want to learn if there is something I can do to get him to be more interested in praying with me. So far, nothing has worked. I'm a little jealous of other women at church who have husbands that pray with them. How can I get him to do that with me? He goes to church with me, but that's about it. He says he believes in God, but that he is never going to be a, quote, super spiritual guy, unquote. And then in parentheses, she says, sigh. So, what are you going to say to this sister today?
Well, first and foremost, you can't make him do anything. There's not a thing that you can do. Sure, you can put boundaries up, but this is not a place where I believe that their boundaries need to go up saying, all right, if you don't pray with us, I'm leaving. No, that's not anything that is going to work here. You know, one of the things I believe that works in every situation is prayer, your prayer, to intercede for your husband, to be able to ask the Holy Spirit to convict him, to bring about to him a mindfulness of knowing how important praying as a family. Now, I don't know, did she say that they have children?
She doesn't say, but it's an issue where he's willing to go to church with her, but she says that's about it. He says he believes in God. But so far, they're not experiencing any kind of prayer together.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I always share with men, at least at the ministry, and I always let them know how important it is for me and my family to be able to not only pray with me, but for them to see me, humble myself to my Creator, our Creator, and saying thank you, and just voicing or just quiet prayer. I don't think there's anything, and you may already be doing this, but if you pray in front of him. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to, you know, and you just humble yourself. Allow him to be able to see how important this is in your life. Rather than you just maybe asking him to be a part of it, just show him, okay? Let him see you humble yourself to God. and in asking prayer. You know, but I truly, in this case here, an awful lot, there has to be something that has to trigger him to get him to that place where he's going to have to realize that, or he doesn't have to realize, where he may realize that God is the one that allows him to continue breathing, allowing the heart to keep pumping the blood through his body, you know. So if there's something that's taking place in his life, I tell you, one of the things that I end up, I tell wives to pray for their husbands who are in the midst of certain challenges in their life. I pray that, I ask them, I say, pray that there is a truly enough pain that he's going to feel. And let it happen quickly, Father, so that he can feel that pain and knowing that he is at a dead end. Let him get to that place where he can finally surrender and submit to you, Father. I love my husband. I don't want him to hurt, but I pray, Father, that if whatever it takes, that you would, I know that you would be there, that you would actually allow this to take place so that he can come to know you. And you know, Sister, I would just, continue to pray yourself. But I, you know, one of the things is that there's not a thing that you can actually do in the flesh or I believe even say to him. If you were to try to set something up for other brothers who know Christ and do pray to come talk to him, I'm not sure that would necessarily work. That may prolong, that might even turn him away from wanting to go to church. So that's where I'm at with that one right now.
Okay. Well, you're touching all the key points. Obviously, as we talk about these, we're always making some assumptions.
Right.
But here's a man who is willing to go to church with his wife, and she doesn't reflect any major relational problems. Mm-hmm. She has a hunger for a spiritual oneness in her marriage, mm-hmm. and she's seeing other women at church who talk about our family prays together, our husband prays together. She's indicated this has stirred up a little jealousy in her, mm-hmm. not in a negative way, but she has a longing in her heart. Right. She appears to love her husband. She wants a deeper level of oneness with her husband. All of that we fully understand is commendable, and obviously she's tuning in because she's motivated to understand him at a deeper level, which is, you know, so advantageous in terms of building an ongoing healthy relationship. He, on the other hand, is saying, you know, I believe in God, I'll go to church, but I'm never going to be, quote, a super spiritual guy. Now, I've been hanging around church all of my adult life, and I know exactly where this man is coming from. I'm going to assume he loves his wife. I'm going to assume their relationship is fine at this moment. They're going to church together, which is obviously, there are a lot of women who would be envious of her. Mm-hmm. She's envious of women where their husbands mm-hmm. are praying. There are a lot of women out there would be very envious if the guy just get off the couch, yes. turn off football game, and go to church with her for an hour on Sunday morning. But when a man says, I'm never going to be a super spiritual guy, one of the things he's saying is, I've been to church, I've seen the men at church, and I don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I understand what she's saying, because it's easy to look around and say, you know, where are the men that are really men? Where are the, you know, where are the guys that are standing up in a man kind of way? Where are the men that are having relationship with other men at a spiritual level and have a sense of conviction and direction and enthusiasm and excitement? Where are the men that truly worship God in spirit and in truth? And so it's easy for a guy, I'm sure there's some of those men there, but it's easy for a guy when he goes to church to get his eyes fixed on the wrong ones instead of the right ones. So I've got some advice for this woman. She can't do anything. You're absolutely right that the most powerful thing that she can do is pray. But here's the prayer that I would recommend for this woman. What this man, what would be of the greatest benefit to this man would be for him to meet another brother who is on fire for God, who is a man's kind of man, a man with passion and purpose and direction and some spiritual muscles, not a weak, compliant, go with the flow, but I mean somebody who is on fire for Jesus. And what I would encourage her to pray is, God, bring across my husband's path that kind of man. Because so frequently, a man has a wrong picture in his mind of a super spiritual guy. And unfortunately, organized Christianity oftentimes perpetuates that. You know, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Compliant Guy. And I'll tell you, when you look at Jesus through a man's point of view, Jesus was not Mr. Nice Guy. He was not Mr. Compliant Guy. Jesus was a man of spiritual fire. And so were those who eventually followed him. I'd encourage this woman to pray, Lord, bring another man like that into my husband's life. Because here's where conviction comes from. She can't shame her husband into conviction. Here's where conviction comes from. And we could do a whole program on this someday. Conviction, this is how it comes. When I see in someone else what I know I ought to also have in me. And so when this man meets the real deal, he's going to see something that's going to stir his heart. And that man can say, look him right in the eye and say, I challenge you to pray with your wife. I challenge you before you leave the house in the morning to pray for 5 minutes. I challenge you to get on a different spiritual track. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Praise God. And sister, we thank you for sending that in. She is, I knew we had stealthy women that actually paid attention and listened to this show. And so you got some good stuff there.
Someday we should do a survey.
Yeah, how are we going to do that?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But, you know, these women, as you and I both know, they always know more than we think they know. And they're always paying closer attention than what we think they're paying. So I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't a lot of them out there giving us a listen.
Yeah, I'd like to think that there are. And the good thing is that, see, they love their husbands enough. They want to be able to know them. They want to be able to help them and be able to be godly wives for these men. And that is such a good thing.
And, you know, that desire that's in the heart of women, that desire is also in the heart of men.
Yes.
Women carry it closer to the surface.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you, in the way that a woman wants to have a deep and meaningful relationship with her husband, I guarantee you, at a deep level in his heart, so does every man.
Absolutely.
Problem is, we give up too soon.
Yeah.
We quit too early. But God bless these women.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one of the things, we talk about this a lot. Debbie has the Squadron Sisters group that she meets with. Her and Pam head that thing up. But, you know, one of the things that I so appreciate about what Debbie does is that with me is that she encourages me. She thanks me for being the man that I am. And all that does is fire me up to be even more of what it is that I am. And in turn, this sister who's listening on this, you know, if you were to, and you may already be doing this, saying thanking him, saying, I am so glad to have you in church with me. I'm so proud of you. Because there are so many men that don't do this. But thank you. And if he hears that type of thing, I'm going to tell you, man, he's going to get fired up. He might be closer to meeting that other guy.
And before we put a period at the end of this sentence, I just feel prompted to say this. And I'm speaking to women now. And I'm grasping for words because I don't want to frame this in a negative context. But, and let me put it this way. What will demotivate a man spiritually is when his wife talks about how much she admires the pastor.
Yes.
When his wife talks about how much she admires other spiritual men that are leaders.
Yeah.
When a wife tries to motivate her husband by pointing out the strong spiritual characteristics in another man.
Yeah.
When her husband, I understand that her motivation is to try to encourage him to become more spiritual or to press on, but that will close a man's spirit so quickly.
Yes.
It will shut him down.
Yep.
And so even if she does admire the pastor, even if she does admire some of these other spiritual qualities about somebody else's husband or so on, that's the wrong path to take.
Right.
You're reaching for, you're trying to get to the right destination, but that road will never get you there. That will shut a man down.
Yes.
And you just said it, when a wife, men need admiration.
Mm-hmm.
They need appreciation.
Yes.
You know, women long for affection and communication. I mean, we're wired differently.
Yep.
And that woman's ability to express it, admiration is something that God has put in her heart to focus towards the Lord and towards her husband. Mm. And gals, pour it on. Mm. I mean, you know, you may have to look a long time to find something that you can acknowledge and admire about that man, but you just keep looking until you find it, and when you find it, pour it on. You have no idea what that does to a man's spirit.
Absolutely. You know, you may just be tapping in and come across a little bit of the gem, but the mother lode is down deep underneath there. You just keep
hammering
away at it.
It's in there. There's a reason you married him.
That's
you
right.
may have long since forgotten it, but there was a reason you walked down the aisle with him.
Amen. When we come back from our break, we're going to go ahead and venture right into Psalm 23. So get your Bible. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio, and I tell you what, I'm still kind of jazzed up about that, talking to the woman, the wife, who actually sent in that email, and it is just, I tell you what, I was just sharing with Steve how cool it is to see where marriages, when there becomes a true reconciliation, and there's a fleeing away from the darkness of what the enemy has done in the husband's lives, and in some cases the wife's life also. And when you see that come together, I tell you what, there is nothing more beautiful. And I can only imagine how God looks down upon something like that, because I mean, it gets me just stoked and seeing and witnessing an actual transformation. You know, it is just so. Cool.
Well, let me just mention one of my favorite themes, and this seems to be the story that I'm telling everywhere I go, but we're back to the tuning fork. And if you walk into a guitar store and you hit an A on a tuning fork, every A string in that guitar store will begin to vibrate and reverberate.
Hmm.
It resonates. It witnesses to that sound.
Hmm.
The Holy Spirit, Raoul,
mm-hmm.
is... He's here, he's in us, he's at work in the world.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit was on guys like you and I before we came to Christ. He was there, he was wooing us, he was convicting us, he was dealing with us. I can't tell you how many times God sent people across my path to tell me that Jesus loved me when the last thing in the world I didn't want to hear, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going away. But the Comforter is coming. He's going to convict the world. The Holy Spirit is at work. And you and I, God's calling us to tune our lives to the Spirit, This you want to know what Christianity is? Throw out all the rules, throw out all the religion, throw it out. This is God the Spirit. And he says, listen, you get in tune with me, you're going to have love, you're going to have joy, you're going to have peace. There's no law. You can love as much as you want. There's no limit to the joy. There's no limit. There is no law made against these things. Get in tune with me. Well, take that idea and think about a husband and wife. Their relationship is like a guitar out of tune. You know, you can play the right chord, but when you strum it, there's no harmony. It's out of tune. And God comes along, and just like the woman that's listening to this program, you know what she's doing? She's getting her guitar in tune. God comes along and he starts turning those knobs and bringing those strings into perfect harmony. And all of a sudden, when we worship, you know what we're doing? We're getting in tune with the Spirit. We're saying on earth what the angels are saying in heaven. Praise be to our God. Glory be to our God. He is worthy. He is worthy. We're getting in tune. And that's the challenge for us, you and I today, is to walk today in tune with the Spirit. And when husbands and wives start getting their instruments tuned up, that oneness just begins to grow until their lives are blended together in a beautiful harmony that reflects the relationship between Jesus and the church.
Amen.
I'm going to get excited here in a minute. I'll tell you, praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. All right, man. Well, let's see. We wanted to, we're in Psalm 23.
We are. I love this psalm.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. You know, you've heard me say frequently, this is about a passage of Scripture. This is really for men. And you and I both know Scripture's for everybody. But David was a man's man.
Yes.
He was a leader. He was a warrior. He was decisive. He was in trouble. He was out of trouble. He was up. He was down. He turned the wrong way. He repented, got back on the right path. I mean, David's story is your story and my story and the story of every man. And I know, again, that women can find a great identity here, but this is a man's program, and that's what we're talking about this morning. But there are three movements here, and we're going to focus on the middle one this morning. Mm-hmm. But there are three movements in this psalm. David begins by declaring something about his heart relationship with God. Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. There are green pastures that he makes me lie down in. There are quiet waters that he leads me beside. There is this moment when he restores my soul. That's David is... He's declaring who God is. Mm-hmm. And just as probably you did in your morning prayer this morning, we come to the Lord and we start worshiping him and giving him glory. And we are saying on earth what throughout the unending universes of universes, it's resonating out there. Glory be to our God. Hallelujah. He is worthy. And so David, he makes these statements about God. Then in verse 4, This is who God is. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we always or many times assign this to funerals. Mm-hmm. And we assign it to that moment of passing from this life to the next. And I have no problem with that. But the reality is what he's saying here is even when I walk through the darkest valley.
Yes.
And so this life, this path that we're walking is not just level. Mm-hmm. You and I, still out in front of us, every man listening, still out in front of them, there are going to be wonderful high points. Mm-hmm. The birth of a child, the birth of a grandchild, the some advantageous thing that happens at work, some friend that you've been praying for who comes to Christ, somebody who you love who gets delivered out of some kind of addiction. I mean, they're going to be high points when we are just we're going to stand on the mountaintop and we are. I mean, everything is going to seem to be in the right place.
Yes.
What a feeling that is. Mm. But the problem is that that's not life. That's not where we're at. Jesus said, you know, you're going to be, they're going to hate you for my sake. You're going to be persecuted. I mean, scripture makes it clear. You know, Paul says we're pressed on every side. We're troubled without, it's all coming against us, and yet we're not destroyed. We're going to keep moving ahead and pressing towards the mark for the high calling of the prize in Christ Jesus. So there are mountaintop experiences,
mm-hmm.
but there are also moments as men when we're going to walk through the darkest valley.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this because he doesn't – so that's the second movement, but he doesn't leave us there. But when I'm in the darkest valley, I'm not going to fear evil.
Mm.
Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then the third movement is on the other side of that dark valley. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you step back from this, David is saying, this is how my life has been. I know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I know who God is, there are still moments when I have to walk through the darkest valley. Now, I'm going to ask you a question in just a second. Even though I know who God is, I still have moments when I walk through the darkest valley. Even though I have mountaintop experiences, there are times in life. It might be standing by the grave of a loved one. It might be sitting in the doctor's office and getting bad news. It might be your boss saying, you know what, I'm sorry, you're a great employee, but we're downsizing the company and we hate to let you go, but we're going to have to. I mean, there are dark moments.
Mm-hmm.
But David's saying on the other side of it, even though all this is going around me, you still anoint my head with oil. You make my cup overflow. And even though I'm going through this, I know that goodness and love, King James Version says, mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I want to ask you this morning, heart to heart, man to man, you seem to me to be a guy who's on fire for God.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a vibrant ministry. I know you're touching hundreds, if not thousands, of men's lives. I know you. I know you as a man who you are what you say you are. You read the Word. I know that you and Debbie are working on your relationship. But let me ask you this morning, Raul. Are there times when you get discouraged?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Freeze that. How? So I don't get it. I'm hearing these guys on TV talking about peace and prosperity. I thought if I came to Jesus, everything was going to be fine. I was never going to have another problem. And I'm looking at you, you're modeling the way for me, you're showing me how a Christian man lives, and you're telling me that there are times when you get discouraged?
I'm going to answer that even more right after this break. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when
feels like I'm born again, and welcome back to Banner Brothers Radio. And Stephen asked me before the break if I've ever felt discouragement, even knowing the person that I am, the man that I am, and what I stand for, and what I proclaim, and what I'm willing to preach and teach about. You asked if I was.
Well, that's my question to you, because I think this is a challenge to every man. Mm-hmm. And I think often, and going back to the woman who wrote the email, and her husband said, you know, I don't want to be that super spiritual guy. Right. We have a picture that's incorrect. Mm-hmm. Now, the picture David gives us in Psalm 23 is correct. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking you, at the deepest level of transparency here, do you ever get discouraged?
I do get discouraged. And what ends up happening is that, first and foremost, I am human, okay? And I don't use that as an excuse, because I understand what excuse means.
Okay, let me see if you can give me the definition. What is an excuse?
Is skinned with truth and stuffed with a lie.
You're close.
Is that it?
Almost. And we went over this the other night.
I know.
Here's an excuse. It is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie.
There you go.
Okay? But I'll give you skin credit. I'll give you credit for that.
Okay,
one.
I get a B anyway, huh?
No, I'm going to give you an A plus for effort. but seriously, getting, because this is critical, and we're going to run out of time.
Yes.
And there's somebody listening that they need this right now. They need to know this, because I guarantee you that some of our brothers that are tuned in right this moment, they're discouraged and they feel like giving up, and they think somehow they've been singled out. So you're telling me that you get discouraged, and I want to know what's that like, and then I want to know what you do about it.
Well, that discouragement comes, and I'll give you an example, is that I know that I have a lot of men in my life because of the ministry, and they are human. They make errors. They're not sin-free or sinless, just like me, okay? And sometimes I get disappointed because they fall short, or maybe they fall back, and all of a sudden, that disappointment that I've set somebody up in thinking that, oh man, he's heading down the right path, and he comes off that path, so to speak, all of a sudden this voice inside me says, you thought you had this guy on the right path. You only thought you were effective. You only thought, because you're really not. You're back to being, remember that loser you were back in the day? That's who you really are. You're only make-believing. You only think you have, and you don't have, and he's not really there, meaning Jesus.
So tell me, I want to know how that feels. What do you feel when you're discouraged?
Oh, man, I feel angry.
Okay.
I feel anger.
Okay.
Because I want to do something. I want to fix it. And I know there's nothing that I can do in the physical sense to fix it.
So you're telling me you feel helpless?
Pretty much.
What about hopeless?
Oh, well, you know, not hopeless. I get there sometimes, but then I know there's something inside that tells me that I know what I need to do. I need not stay in that frame of mind. I need to actually move forward to get out of this. And the best way of doing that for me is that I know that the lies that come into my head come from the enemy. They're not coming from God.
Okay. So are you discouraged for an hour?
Oh, yeah.
How about discouraged for 4 hours?
Could actually be discouraged for days.
Okay, for a day, even for days, you can feel this discouragement.
Yes.
So you're feeling something. Does that feel good?
Of course not.
Okay. Yeah. Helpless, but as you said, and probably because you're rooted in the Word, and you have brothers around your life, not hopeless.
Right.
But could a man feel hopeless if he was discouraged?
Absolutely, because you stay there long enough, all of a sudden, before you know it, it's like, why even go on? I don't even, and just, you know, just start walking just to get away from everything.
Okay.
You know? But yes, you can feel, and I have felt that way before, not very often.
Yeah, so when you're discouraged, do you ever feel like just giving up and throwing in the towel?
Absolutely. I just, you know, sometimes I say, you know what, I'm just done. Just fill up the car with as much gas as I can get in it and just start driving south.
Now, you're telling me the truth, that this feeling still comes
absolutely.
Sometimes, even
yes.
though you're preaching to a couple hundred
yes.
men every week and
yes.
you're on the radio every
yes.
morning and you're praying with your wife, you're doing all the
yes.
you're doing all the things that you're encouraging other men to do, and you're telling me that there are still moments when you find yourself in the darkest valley.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is something I have no control over sometimes. But I do have control over how long I'm willing to stay in that.
Okay.
And that's where it comes to my knowing that if nothing else, I first of all call on Jesus. I call on the Holy Spirit for assistance. I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke him by just saying there is no place here for you because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And there is no place here for you. Nothing but lies, and I rebuke it. And then I move forward into either, depending on who's around me, if my wife is nearby, she's available, I'll say, hey, you know what? We just need to talk. You need to hear something from me. Or I pick up that phone and call one of my brothers, say, I need prayer.
Okay. So what if I said to you, well, Raul, you just need to have more faith. You shouldn't feel that way. What if I said to you, well, Raul, you just need to be more disciplined in reading the Word of God. You shouldn't feel that way. What if I said, Raul, you can't go around like that because other people will see that and they won't think that you're a real Christian. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd probably say I probably won't call you back again because that's something that is, you know, all of those things are, you know, I am a people pleaser at heart. I always have been. I wanted to be able to make sure I had this front of looking good. And underneath, I was just crumbling, falling apart. And that was so much work. And I found that I'm more effective because of my weaknesses. And the things that are actually challenges in my life actually become assets in my life today. That I can actually reach more men and let them know, said, hey, man, this is who I am. This is who I am. I, in a moment, can get angry. In a moment, I can end up wanting to give up everything. In a moment, I could go and buy a ticket with my credit card and fly away and not say anything to anybody. Those are all options. But that, all those things that I did not want to be, end up being my greatest assets today and reaching other men and letting them know they're not alone. And you know what? When I can be transparent and say, listen, man, this ministry didn't start up because I had a great idea about a ministry. This came from me and another guy saying, let's get into the Word of God and have a Bible study. Let's learn and what he has to say to us. So you do the work on the soil. And then all of a sudden, the seed that was planted there starts to get aerated. And as the Word is shared and prayers are taken up, then all of a sudden there's grace that's rained down on this seed. And all of a sudden it begins to grow. And it just goes from there. So, yes, do I get discouraged? Absolutely. Do I stay there? Not nearly as long as I used to.
Well, what I want to say to you is that you're a lot like David. This is the picture that David is giving us. We know who God is. He is, the Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. He oversees my life. He's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. So we declare we know who God is. But even though we know who God is, we're going to have mountaintop experiences where it's going to be so clear. It doesn't get any better than this. We just feel like we're right in God's will. God's at work in our lives. Things are happening around us. Everything's fallen into place. Life is good. But we know that on this side of eternity that we have been born again. Our spirits we have been redeemed. We know that we're going to die. We're going to have a resurrected body. But we also know we're in a moment of conflict spiritually where by faith we embrace all the promises of God. So the world is not a safe place.
Right.
Not only because there are earthquakes and volcanoes and natural disasters, but because the devil goes around, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul makes it clear, you and I are in spiritual conflict. A real war against the powers of darkness, against evil in high places. So there are going to be moments of high points, but there are going to be moments when, just like David, you and I are going to walk through the darkest valley. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel discouragement. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying to every man out there, listen, don't cave in mm-hmm. when you're at your weakest moment.
Right.
Because when you are weak, the Bible says that he is strong. Mm-hmm. Don't think some strange thing has happened to you, mm-hmm. Brother Peter writes. Mm-hmm. This happens to everybody. James tells us your faith is going to be tested. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through dark moments. You're going to go through difficult moments. But David says, even though I'm feeling these things and experiencing these things, and even though my enemies are surrounding me, I'm going to remember that you are with me.
Yes. Yeah.
And no matter what we go through, we're going to come out on the other side. And when we, and here's the amazing thing, it doesn't feel like goodness and love are following you when you're in the darkest valley, because dark is dark and you can't see in the dark.
That's right.
But isn't this true for you and for all of us, that when we get on the other side of that difficult, problematic moment, don't we look back and say, wow, I would have never gotten through that. But you know what? God's goodness and God's love mm-hmm. were with me.
Amen.
And so, you know, a word of encouragement to men this morning.
Yes.
There are going to be high points. There are going to be low points. We're going to come out on the other side. Don't condemn yourself. Don't cave in to the destructive temptations of the enemy. Even at life's worst moment, God is still God. He's still on the throne, and he's got a plan and a purpose for everything that happens to us.
Amen. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come out the other side. So stay tuned. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
What is a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? I don't want to miss what matters. I want to be reaching out. Show me the
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and coming out the other side of walking through that valley of the shadow of death, okay? In hindsight, it's always 2020, is it not? I always look back and go, wow, I am so glad to know that I was willing to walk through that. I know from my experiences of walking through the valley of a shadow of death that the fear that, and that's truly what I believe that the devil throws in front of me, is this fear that just seems overwhelming. There is no way out, no way out. That fear, when I walk through this stuff with the Lord, okay, not by myself, not by my bootstraps pulling them up, but with the Lord, okay, leading me, I end up, that fear is never as big as it seemed to have, it would have been at the time.
Well, that's it. We know that the enemy of our soul, the devil, is a liar, and that his bark is worse than his bite, and he's not just a liar. Scripture says he's the father of lies. And so we're vulnerable in that moment because it's dark and we can't see. But what I appreciate about what you shared today is no matter who you are, how much you love Jesus, how much time you spend in the Word, life is, from time to time, is going to deal you moments when you kind of seem to lose your grip and you feel things deeply. And when you do, your discouragement, that's a dark valley. But what the 23rd Psalm is making clear to us is that our experience isn't unique. It's not new. We're not alone. That David had the same kind of experience, and we find it in other places throughout Scripture. There will be low moments, but as you said, we're going to come out the other side. We're going to look back, and we're going to say, praise God, He got me through that.
Amen. And that's what we want to be able to do. Keep your pastors in prayer. Keep those that you know that are leaders in ministries and in churches, keep them in prayer. Intercede for them. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. These are things that we need to remember as men, that, hey, we do make a difference. You may not see the difference. Remember, it's all about the unseen. Okay, it's about the unseen. It's not about what we see. It's the unseen. Our prayers are powerful and effective, brother. You just shoot them up. Keep your pastors in prayer. Keep those that you love in prayer. Pray for your wives. Pray for your families. Pray for those that you know that are not knowing Him yet, that they will eventually. Brother, would you mind closing us in another prayer?
Father, we praise You this morning, and we thank You that even though we go through the darkest valley, that You are always with us. I pray for every brother who might be facing discouragement today. Lift his spirit, bring people around him that can speak words of life and encouragement. Lord, we declare that in You we always triumph. Bless today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. There is hope, and you are not alone.